UK, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Sorry to be a minute or so tardy. I admit I got caught up in reading about some outbreaks of freedom. Because there have been some. And then I also got caught up in reading the latest on the bombing in Istanbul, the former Constantinople, seat of the Roman Empire for 1,000 years. We're up and we're running. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Loud and clear on my IBM 700 series vacuum tube computer, Brother Bob. It's a bitch to warm this one up in order to run Tune In. Yeah. But it is Tuesday, the 28th day of June, 2016. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And, you know what Titanic Tuesday's for. Yep. Titanic Manifestations of Right-Wing Intellect. So named for an occasion many, many, many distant years ago now. When a mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing follower of the morning wingnut called into America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia, and said, "Why do you reckon there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? Because we ain't nowhere near the beach." And at that time, we hadn't had any thousand-year floods, so the morning wingnut was unable to say that the shellfish were washed there by the... No, never mind. No, he just... Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Yeah. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic flambé dishes. No, none whatsoever. But it is. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. This is, of course, a listener-supported program. I hate going through all this stuff, but it kind of has to happen, because if I don't, we might not be on the air. We have to fundraise every blessed evening. Some evenings are more effective than others. Last night, for instance, we had help from Catherine and Brother Deacon Gerald and Cletus, who came out from under the bed and asked Steve from Georgia, Stan, and Karen if they would possibly kick her kibble budget over to the Horn, which made me feel very very humbled and very honored indeed. It's not many dogs that'll come out from under the bed, hiding from thunder and lightning, to help keep the Horn going. So thank you, one and all. So that means there are three remaining slots in President and CEO Harold's Roundup Challenge, courtesy of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. It would be great if we filled those in, because, see, I don't know, maybe interest in swede beating, which just kind of sounds dirty when you put it that way, But I don't know. Maybe the interest in Swede beating has died down. But we're trying to beat the Swede for the sixth month in a row. And it means $100 extra to us if we can do it. So that means we really are at a place where we kind of got to make the fundraising goal tonight and tomorrow night and the night after that. It would be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Thursday's the last day of June. So if you'd like to help, well, you know where the Contribute tab is, I trust. It's over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab that's curiously marked Contribute. And, of course, we're always looking for new subscribers. And just check that box that says make this a recurring contribution, and it will be. Thank you very kindly, Ron, in the far and pleasant north. Getting it, who is? I don't know. You might get charged with gimmick infringement for this. Ron says, getting you 5x5 on my Commodore 64. Frontier Communications must have added more string to their network. Oh, you mean you're not using that trusty TRS-40? No? Okay. So we need those three slots remain, which would put us to the good for starting tomorrow. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, that works too. And that is that mailing address is The Horn, for checks and money orders made so payable. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Wow, I go through that quickly. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. If you would like to participate in the fundraising via the Postal Service, just, you know, send me a note so that I can count that in with the with our effort to beat the Swede, as we wind up the month of June. You know, next month, if we beat the Swede this month, and next month it goes to 110. Nah, yeah. And you can see what it is by December, and that's pretty damned impressive. So there's the Swede beating challenge, and there's all the fundraising the information. If you send me an email saying that you're using the Postal Service method, I can let Boss Man Wayne No, and he can just take a sturdy piece of rebar with him when he goes in case he runs into a Klansman. So that's how we keep this all on the air, because there aren't any ads. No, none at all. So being as how it is Titanic Tuesday. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. What, you guys aren't reminding me anymore? But I am. I thought we could jump right to... I mean, this is stunning, what I've got here. This is an example of, no kidding, actual, real journalism. And what makes it even more stunning is the fact that it was practiced by someone with Chicken Noodle News. Because being as how they're running around hiring people like Corey Lewandowski to be on their network now, it rather seemed as if they'd completely given up on any ideas of journalism. But I'll be dipped. There some is. In the wake of the Brexit vote, Christiane Amanpour, who technically is with CNN International, but they let her work on the main Chicken Noodle News sometimes. But Christiane Amanpour interviewed Tory MP Dan Hannan yesterday. And it didn't go well at all. Because Christiane Amanpour did what that... I don't know, maybe they should have this rolling on a loop in the D.C. Bureau at Chicken Noodle News and down in Atlanta and where else. But Christiane Amanpour actually asked real live, no kidding questions of this mouth-breathing, you know, I guess if you're a Tory MP, you're the original teabagger, aren't you? But just, you know, check this out and sit in stunned amazement that somebody is still attempting journalism.
Patriation of power while leaving some of the existing stuff in place.
Okay, so now I'm hearing, you know, a very much softer, gentler version of what you proposed during the campaign. Temper some of the stuff. Like what? Like immigration? Because you yourself have sort of stepped back. So has Boris Johnson.
What have I stepped back from?
You have said that... Let me get my...
Yes, I've said that we want control back rather than numbers.
No, you have said that maybe we're not... Yes,
and
exactly.
When did I ever say the opposite?
You have
when
said
did I
that
ever not
the
say
numbers...
That? Right, when did I ever not say that?
Listen,
I wrote
you know,
a book
and
about
you've been,
this.
You've been through all of this on other channels. The reason people voted, the majority of them, and I can play you what they've said,
Christiane,
is
you
to
just,
stop
you
immigration
just accused me of
into
doing
this
a U-turn.
Country. No, backtracking.
Like,
okay,
no,
maybe
okay,
that's a U-turn.
Okay, you've accused me of backtracking. When have I ever said anything different?
You have said, and your Leave campaign, and you are the lead spokesman of the Leave campaign, that immigration and the free flow of movement was the sine qua non.
Never, I've never, ever said that. I've written a book called Why Vote Leave, setting out what would happen.
Would you agree
at
that the Leave campaign's main objective, but, in terms of sovereignty, was to
answer,
stop
will you
the
please
free
retract
movement?
No, your idea that I've backtracked.
Anything.
Okay. Then people at home can Google this, they can look at what I've said, and they can see whether it's fair for you to accuse me of having done
anything. Let me ask you, are you then saying that this immigration is going to be much lighter than you all promised?
I have never, ever made any commitment on numbers, ever. On the contrary,
numbers,
I have said
just on facts, no free movement of
What we said
labor.
Is we would take back control. Now, what that means is that a foreign court should no longer get to determine who can reside in this country, who can enter this country, but that should be a question for parliamentary sovereignty. We are clear about that.
So
and
you're
that
saying,
will
you're
it
saying
does not
that parliamentary sovereignty could quite easily allow the same number of people to keep coming
that will
in?
Be a decision for parliament. That's how
you
democracy
have got
works.
To be kidding me. What? This whole thing was run on... Can I say for you?
You guys have been
I
shouting racist so long
no,
you weren't listening to... Well,
did I say that? When you retract
when
that
have
right
I
now.
Ever,
did I say
when
that?
When have I ever made immigration
did I say
issue?
That?
You, well,
did I say
you have
that?
Accused me of backtracking.
Backtracking
and I want you to
racist.
Give me one bit of evidence that
let
I ever said anything different
soundbite,
from
Daniel,
what you've just quoted.
Daniel, let me play the soundbite. You refuse to put an earpiece in, but I'm going to tell you what they're saying of why people say they voted for this leave, mostly. Let's play.
Why are you so elated?
It's all about immigration. Right. It's not about trade or Europe or anything like that. It's all about immigration. It's to stop the Muslims from coming into this country. Simple as that.
Do you think you voted to leave the EU to stop Muslims coming to the country?
To stop immigration.
Right.
But the movement of people in Europe, fair enough. But not from Africa, Syria, Iraq, everywhere else. It's all wrong.
When we first went in, it was for trade only. The governments went and gave us everything to Germany. My parents, my grandparents fought for England to be free, and it's about time we would come back to be free.
Foreigners, get them out, kick them all out. And that's all I've got to say, actually.
So, just tell me what you plan then for immigration, because you know, and we all know, because we've done this endlessly for months. You even said, your group even said that if we had to leave the single market in order not to have the free flow of labor and people, we'd have to leave the single market. Now they're backtracking on that too.
This is a global country, a merchant country, a maritime country. We've always been connected to every continent and archipelago, right? The argument against the EU is that it's in decline and that we can do better raising our eyes to more opulent markets overseas.
What are people
that has
say?
Been my argument throughout, on every interview, every speech, and I've written a book called Why Vote Leave, where it's all set out. You will
Oh, yes, of course. He's written a book called Why
Why not leave? It's all set out there. Interviews with the oil of cloves and the satchel of Armstrong and the jack of spades and the queen of diamonds and absolutely, it's all written out there in the book. Absolutely. And of course it's not racist. I mean, we're not racist. I mean, we have nothing against the wogs, really, when you get right down to it. I mean, makes them lovely service personnel, really. Nothing's really been the same since we had to give up the Raj, though, when it comes right down to it. Bloody peasants. Jesus Christ. I wrote a book, you know. Yes, it was a book about leaving, is what it was. And I mean, you can read my book, and I never even used the word wogs. I think it rather a bit, I'm afraid. So, by the way, the Leave campaign was about immigration. It didn't start out about immigration. It started out about something. It started out about, you know, trade, you know, whatever. But then they were losing their ass. So they went all George Wallace. No, really. Not William Wallace. George Wallace. And decided they were not going to be out-Muslimed. And you can hear, I've read article after article after article after article after article from a variety of different sources, different perspectives. And there's little doubt that, it was racist. And it was bigoted, and it was based in phobia. Because, see, anybody who says, the old UK is taking back her independence. She's never been anything but independent. The Queen is, you know, still on the throne. Her godforsaken little gits are still, there's some of them are really old gits now, are still sucking the country dry. I mean, Jesus Christ! I mean, you want to fix England? Well, no, they had that business with Mr. Cromwell. They probably won't want to be ditching the monarchy again anytime soon. They still feel rather bad about that whole affair, and the bloody black shoes with the buckles on them they hurt, and the stupid hats, and the drab, dreary place England was under those people. Yes, it's certainly worth letting a family come in and suck up half of your economy, just keeping themselves in jewels and rubies and ermine furs, just not to have those religious fanatics running around after all. Absolutely. But he's written the book, damn it!
Not find any
you did
argument
back
there.
Boris Johnson, listen, and you did back Michael Gove, right?
If I was relying on CNN as my only source of evidence, I would think that this was a nativist vote, a protectionist vote. It's the opposite.
The Prime
we are
Minister
a global country,
started.
And we can do better than just a regional association.
Right, are you concerned?
Oh, stop it. The EU is just it's a regional association. It's rather like you know, the football clubs. It's a regional association. And we can do better. Absolutely. I mean, after all, there's China there, isn't there? We had a perfectly smashing opium trade going with them sometime in the distant past. I'm sure perhaps we could get something like that cranking up again. I hear the Yanks aren't much interested in their Trans-Pacific Partnership. Well, maybe we could go and make one of those. Now, how about that? Huh?
That's been the argument. Are you right concerned about some of the post-Brexit hate crimes, the graffiti, hurling of insults?
Oh,
are you?
Come
the Prime Minister
on.
Started,
and that's our fault?
The Prime Minister started Parliament
that is
today
outrageous.
Without...
And that's our fault? That's outrageous.
All we did was run a campaign saying that we wanted the bloody wogs to go home. And now there are a bunch of people telling the bloody wogs to go home, and you think that that's our fault? Huh? My stars. Jesus Christ, right-wing nuts in the UK are as bad or worse than they are here. Probably worse, because they got some edumacation behind them. I mean, how do I know the Brexit was a terrible idea? Because I keep seeing posts from baggers, birthers, deathers, ninthers, deathers, tenthers, birchers, and booger eaters talking about what a great thing it is. And how, you know, I give them 6 months before they revive the plan to dig a big ditch around Massachusetts and float it out to sea. That was a big one back around 1858, 1859. And how are they going to feel, these dumbasses, when Scotland votes to scomper off? Oh, they've scompered. They scompered off. Over yon Chevy Chase. Yeah, a bunch of bloody foreigners is what the Scots were. Disloyal. No appreciation for everything we've ever done for them. Chomping Jehoshaphat. Do continue, Member of Parliament, Hannan. Yes, please.
This question. In every country,
in
every population.
I am asking you, as a politician, are you concerned about some of the fallout?
In every country, you have some racist idiots. In every society, you have some racist idiots. But for you to suggest without any connection that this is somehow connected to the campaign,
Daniel,
that you couldn't...
No, it's not connected in the least. We had our racist idiots before. We just kept them all in football stadiums, after all. But now they've gotten out and run around a bit, and now they're looking at Polish women and saying, we voted leave, so that means leave. No, that's happening. Because it's not just brown-skinned people, it's people from Eastern Europe, too. Hate crimes are up by 58% in the wake of the Brexit vote. Because it's given... It's put the bit in the teeth of the racists and the right-wingers and the proto-fascists and the little brown-shirt wannabes. People screaming at other people whose families have been in England for generations now. Come on now, get up, cat, it's time to go. We voted to get your like out of here. Hip, 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 cheerio. Come on now. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Right. Of course it's racist. Of course it's bigoted. Of course it's phobic. And it's monumentally stupid. Oh, well, we had a lot of little currency going there. Now it's... probably not going to be worth nearly as much anymore. Damn shame, really. Pity. Yes, pity indeed. Do continue, Member Hannan. You know, at least he doesn't look like he's made out of wax like Trey Gowdy does, but I bet they'd get on fabulously.
Have had that there were no racists in Britain before, that there are no...
Daniel,
racists.
That's not what I was saying. I said, are you concerned about the fallout and the hate crime?
Now,
again,
why
I don't believe I used the word racist.
Why assume
now,
that it's
let
fallout?
Me ask you this about
Hang on,
Boris
sorry,
Johnson.
Sorry. That was a why did
because,
you stop beating your wife's
no,
question?
No, it wasn't.
Why,
because
why
people
is there
have
a
gone
connection
into shops
between
and
the,
they have said, yeah. We voted out,
and
now
that never happened
go
before.
Home.
There were never any racists in this country
before.
There were never any...
Daniel,
oh, logic! Oh, I'm afraid... Oh, definitely, definitely. Point to Ms. Amanpour on that. They went into shops. They said, we voted out. Now get out. And that's never happened before. Well, no, actually, because you've never had a leave vote before. Ooh. Bad. Danny Hannon is having a bad day.
Let's not be tautological here. You haven't voted out
before.
What
you are suggesting is outrageous. What you are suggesting is that there is a connection
between
people who voted for more democracy and some of these incidents.
It's some of the hate crime.
Things to say without any evidence of any connection at all.
We have the evidence and I've put it on the
air. What evidence? You show me a link between the vote and this bad behavior.
We will show you the graffiti on the Polish community center here.
So there are some bad people, right?
Right, okay.
Right,
so
of course we condemn that.
57% rise in hate crime since Brexit. 57% rise in hate crime. According to your police. According to the police here. I'm not making it up.
What you're suggesting is
I'm just asking you, are you concerned?
Why does he hate the police? Why does he hate the bobbies there? Hey, what?
Percent of
you
the country are on a spectrum that connects them to this. Well, of course. Why should I need to say
you
that?
You won't answer the other one. Now, let me ask you this about Boris Johnson, okay? Who's maybe, at least he's trying, to be the next prime minister and party leader. This is what he said in his column, which he's written. He hasn't gone out and made a big vision speech or a big plan speech. He's written it in a column for which he gets paid a lot of money. He said, I cannot stress too much that Britain is part of Europe and always will be. There will still be intense and intensifying European cooperation and partnership in a huge number of fields. There will continue to be free trade and access to the single market. Britain is and always will be a great European power, offering top table opinions and giving leadership on everything from foreign policy to defense to counterterrorism and intelligence sharing.
Jesus, he did everything except say it was going to be really great, didn't he? Boris.
You see, I thought this referendum was about disassociating from the EU.
I get that you thought that.
Yeah.
You were evidently not listening to us.
So it wasn't.
Correct.
It wasn't about disassociating from the EU.
May I tell you what it was about without interruption?
Please.
Yes. It was about an internationalist global Britain, a more deregulated Britain, a freer Britain, and a more democratic Britain. One that is interested and engaged with the affairs of every continent, including Europe. I speak French, I speak Spanish, I've lived and worked all over Europe, right? I have absolutely no issue with collaborating with our immediate neighbors. You would have to be insane to be against that.
I understand that.
Right?
How do you expect to be a leader at all these tables when you're not part of the EU? Because they have
the fifth largest economy in the world, we're the fourth military power, we're one of five permanent seat holders on the UN Security Council.
And you probably shouldn't be now, but, you know, just saying.
I think we need to moderate all our foreign policy through Mrs. Mogherini. But the implication here that people have just voted for closing doors, for protectionism, which has been a theme throughout, is just the opposite of what we were actually campaigning
on.
We were making a liberal argument for a global, engaged, international Britain, and we want to look beyond a declining, innovated Eurozone to the growing markets further afield where we have connections.
All right. Well, we will continue this conversation.
Yeah, probably not. So, in other words, he wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. And there's not going to be any bad ramifications coming out of the stupid vote to leave. And it's all just a big misunderstanding. And pay no mind to that bus that was running around saying we send 350 million pounds a month to the EU, let's spend it on the National Health Service instead, because they're not going to do that either. In other words, the whole thing was built on a tissue of, you know, lies and racism. And I, frankly, hope my distant kin there in Scotland schedule the referendum as soon as possible. And then there are the people who voted leave and said, well, that's what that meant? Oh. Can we have a redo? Can we have a once-over? A once-more? No? Well, that'll teach you people to let us vote. God, that is astonishing. And yes, the racism is running rampant thereabouts. But it's not about, it has nothing to do with, no, absolutely not. A countering voice comes from Patrick in Germany, who upbraided me earlier, saying, I can't understand your position on the Brexit. You call the British stupid for leaving the EU. I think it's a very smart move. Or do you call the Swiss stupid for not being a member? No, I don't call the Swiss stupid for not being a member. They're not a member. They're Switzerland. They're Switzerland. And they have been neutral since, what, the 14th century? Something like that, yeah. But Patrick continues. You cannot, because I said, you know, history shows, 1,500 years of European history, probably more if we count the prehistory. But roughly 1,500 years of European history shows that left to their own devices, Europeans sooner or later fall to slaughtering each other. Because they do. Yeah, I'm trying to read. How many millions of Gauls did Caesar kill? Oh, never mind. But, that, you know, and by the way, it's no longer the pound sterling, it's the pound swirling. And Patrick says, you cannot compare the Brexit from the EU with any historical event. Well, I think you can, because that's the purpose of history. You know, those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. And for those who wish to learn from history, there's hope that maybe there's enough of them that you could keep those histories from being repeated. But if this causes the EU to go ahead and fall all the way apart, then, you know, what the hell? Patrick says the EU has been and is extremely intrusive, and it is getting worse every year. People are getting sick and tired of being bossed around by the EU, having EU politicians decide how curved a banana must be or how straight a cucumber should be. You'll forgive me, Patrick, if that sounds like the kind of thing that gets bandied about on right-wing radio here in the U.S. The regulations are just terrible. Even though an unregulated society tends to wind up with methylchlorohexane methanol in the drinking water of 300,000 people. People are also getting sick of the euro getting more and more worthless every month. The exchange rate to the dollar goes downhill for the last 8 years. I thought that was just the free market. I'm not a fan of the euro. Greece wouldn't be in the mess it was in if it had its own currency. But then again, the euro is not the pound. The British didn't have a gun to their heads saying, well, you know, you can't stay in the EU unless you adopt the euro. No, that was settled a long time ago. Patrick says, I've lived in the UK and Ireland and the Netherlands. I'm a European citizen. I'm 100% supporting the Brexit and against the EU in the current form. By the way, we will never take Turkey on, but if we did, that would be a serious problem. Just check their human rights record. No fight from me about that. At one point in time, Turkey was, the Kemal Ataturk was trying to drag the Turkish people kicking and screaming into the 19th century, or maybe the 18th. You know, he went so far as to ban the wearing of the headgear. But now they're in retrograde motion. As I mentioned before, there was an incident in Istanbul last week where a bunch of people who had gathered to hear the new Radiohead album were attacked by good God-fearing, Quran-believing, upstanding, Allah-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Muslims. because they were not only listening to Radiohead, but they were listening to Radiohead while drinking beer during Ramadan. Damn it. So, but then again, raising the issue of Turkey is not productive to your argument, Patrick, because it was the Leave campaign that tried to stoke British racist fears by saying, ah, Turkey's going to be let in after all, you know, they're going to be in the EU, and we'll be up to our eyeballs and those people again. Yeah, it's not like we don't have enough already. Half of London smells like curry. I mean, we've got one of those for a mayor now. Bloody hell. Patrick says, I have family in the UK that has voted Leave, and I feel insulted and disgusted that you basically call all of us stupid racists. I always used to think that you would be more open-minded and fair than that. Frankly, I doubt that you can accurately evaluate the situation with all its nuances. I don't think there's that much nuance. When people are walking up to people with microphones and saying, yeah, I voted Leave because I want the stinking brown people to get out of here. Nuance is pretty well gone at that point. I want $350 million. I want £350 million back into the NHS. But they say they're not going to do that. Yeah, but they said they were. Well, they're not. Well, they should. Damn it. And, of course, the No True Scotsman argument obtains. I'm sure not everybody who voted Leave, and I mean, well, there's empirical proof for this, not everybody who voted Leave were a bunch of stupid racists. Some people were angered over issues of perceived sovereignty. Of course, that also ties in with the racism issue. Some people were frustrated by the idea that a central government could declare or could mandate the free movement of people absent borders, because checkpoints are so cool. I really don't think I'm being unfair in this regard. Britain is not, apparently, what Boris Johnson and that Hannon character and that nasty little Klansman, Nigel Farage, sounds French to me. Maybe he needs to get out! Think it is. Britain is not a global player. Yes, Britain has nukes. But the sun has set. With this vote, the sun has set on the British Empire. There wasn't much left after the Second World War. A little less than there was, you know, after the First. But they want to be a little, you know, just a little insular white people. And it's sad. It's particularly sad because, you know, the British had sort of earned a reputation of being, yes, yes, proud of the mother country. God save the Queen. Let's hoist a tankard of ale to her nibs, right? But when it came right down to it, they were very practical people as well. It tells me a ton that young people voted overwhelmingly to stay in. They know where the future is, while, as was the case here in the United States, people with significantly attenuated futures voted the other way. And Britain's boomers have screwed them to the wall. So there's that. In an effort to in an effort to help me augment all the stuff that's on the, after God knows what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of it, all the stuff that's on the Titanic, on the Titanic table. Steve, Brother Usher Steve, earlier this evening suggested Titanic chopsticks. I don't know, were chopsticks allowed on the Titanic? I mean, you know, maybe down in steerage. Down there where she was saying, draw me like one of your French girls, Jack. Mm-hmm. And I am proud to announce that we have now only two remaining slots in the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society end of June Beat the Swede Challenge. Two left. And if we can do that and a little bit more, then we will still have a fighting chance of beating the Swede. In addition, Brother Usher Steve has put a $15 challenge on the table. If someone will kick in $15, he'll match it, and that'll be a good ways toward, well, they'll be three-fifths of the way toward filling out one of the two remaining slots. So, that should be doable. Yeah. And, you know, getting back, because history is handy, getting back to the question of immigration to the British Isles, if one knows one's history, one cannot help but chuckle a wee bit at that. Because that island has been nothing but a haven of immigrants. People wandered there before the and boats, and it's really not that far from the northern coast of Europe on the Baltic by boat. It's not that far at all to Britannia. You know, we talk about Anglo-Saxons. They were not the native people who lived in Britain. They came there from somewhere else. Particularly Saxony. Jutland, the Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes. The Jutes kind of get left out, and that's not fair. But they, and you know, there's a kinship. There's a linguistic kinship. You can still hear a little tiny bit of it in antique German and antique English, because they were once the same language. Now, granted, there were a group of Picts sitting around. What's the song? A gathering of small furry animals grooving in a cave with a Pict. Isn't that an old Pink Floyd song? Yeah, the Pictish people had to have a wall built. Oh, who knew? But it really wasn't to keep them in. It was just to keep an eye on them. Hadrian built that. Probably Rome's greatest gay emperor, Hadrian. And then, of course, there are the Danes. The Danes, of course, otherwise known as the Vikings, who, long about the time of Alfred the Great, had pretty much begun having their way with the island. Yeah, what do you say we sail over there and burn a few monasteries? Sounds like a lovely idea to me, you betcha. They did that. Then along comes 1066. And the Normans, who were just Danes 2.0, because the French king had given a whole bunch of land in France that there was some question over whether he had the ability to give to the Vikings, and said, listen, why don't y'all settle down and stay a while and provide a buffer zone for me against my enemies? It sounds like a lovely idea. The weather's certainly nicer down here, not by much, but some. And so you wind up with the Norman invasion, the Bayeux Tapestry and the Doomsday Book and all of that stuff. Immigration onto the British island is almost the very definition of that island. Of course, then the human urge to move from shitty places to places that are less shitty is the very essence. The very essence of the human condition, the human experience. But, as we have seen in Norway, in Sweden, in France, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Greece, in Italy, and in some of Eastern Europe as well, Poland in particular, fascism is on the rise. There is no reason to expect that the British should be immune to this. No reason at all. Because after all, back about 80 years ago, 85 maybe, they were having a dalliance with fascism then. Of course, so was the United States. Charles Lindbergh thought that Mr. Hitler fellow, 6:49 p.m., who had 6:49 p.m., 6:49 p.m., was just a keen and swell guy. So did Henry Ford. Joe Kennedy, pappy of the Kennedy clan, had a taste for fascism. Maybe it was the spiffy uniforms. I don't know. But who knows? We may get to see it roll back around again. And maybe it won't require a few tens of millions of human beings to beat it back. Then again, maybe it will. Or maybe this time we'll just kind of knuckle under and go, hey, we really didn't give them a good fair chance last time. Let's try it this time. Because, see, that's the whole operative philosophy behind it, a united Europe, is that that was Europe's only chance not to just keep baptizing itself in blood. Because it doesn't have to be and Adolf Hitler. Europe has proven itself more than willing to baptize itself in blood over next to nothing. CF World War I, the Great War, the war to make the world safe for democracy. That was a squabble among cousins that working stiffs paid for with their lives to the tune of millions of human beings. And every so often, for a variety of reasons, whether it be 1870, 1914, or 1939, you know, Germany just feels like kicking the living shit out of the French. And it never ends well for them. And the only way to keep it from happening, is for Europe to be united. But unity is never easy. God knows we have learned that the hard way here. It's 155 years since a group of idiots decided to lob a few pot shots at Fort Sumter. Because they didn't like the new president. And because they wanted to keep on owning other human beings, insofar as they believed that that was the cornerstone, that was the word they used, the cornerstone of their society. Now, in the and that required kicking the living shit out of the treason states. And it required the deaths of 300,000 Americans and 300,000 traitors. And even after that, there was significant discomfort, and the only time we seemed to find much in the way of unity was when we had somebody else to go and murder. You know, if you go back and you read the Federalist Papers, as I have done, based upon the urgings and teachings of Dr. Bill, who, by the way, turned in a dandy program this afternoon. If you do that, you'll find that there were actual discussions over how well various forms of government could function. And real questions. Real questions. As to whether a country as big as what the 13 colonies then states were then could ever actually be a republic. And hence the idea develops that we're going to have every state be a little sovereign country. See, in many ways, what the EU is an attempt, haltingly, to create a United States of Europe. The only thing is, they weren't able to put together. They weren't able to put together quite as. Robust a system as, you know, Madison, Hamilton, et al. Did. And it may well prove to be their undoing. And it'll be a darn shame. Now, in the aftermath of the recent unpleasantness of 1861 to 1865, we tried to put in place legal mechanisms that would make sure that nobody ever got it into their silly little heads that they were going to secede ever again. But even so, you've still got a very real secessionist movement out there who think that, you know, maybe if we just try, if we go about this a different way, maybe they'll just let us leave quietly. Like Texas. Texas couldn't feed itself. Texas can't even provide basic health care for its own citizens. And frankly, Mexico wouldn't have Texas if you gave it to them. But there are still people that and they celebrate Confederate Memorial Day and General Lee's birthday. And what do you think's behind all that heritage business? They're still sore they lost. Now, if a country the size of Texas can't feed itself, can England? I suspect not. I'm no fan of NAFTA or GATT, CAFTA, BAFTA, or SHAFTA, the TPP, or any of that. But the fact remains that going way back in history, countries, if we're going to use that phrase, or that term, get to the place where they can no longer feed themselves. I remember as far back as 2004, the shocking statistic that 52% of American food, like that, maybe, yeah, 2004, 52% of the food eaten in the United States was imported. It was shocking then, it shocks me now. The Romans, because look, he's talking ancient history again. Part of the reason that that Caesar and then Mark Antony and Octavian were so hell-bent in locking down Egypt was because the Italian peninsula, Rome, could not feed itself. The UK would have starved in the early years of the Second World War were it not for the United States. The USSR, through all of its blustering and all of its saber-rattling, at the end of the day, knew that they could not eat without the United States. Grain shipments. And so you wind up with a real repent, act in haste, repent in leisure kind of a moment. Because if Britain wants out, I know folks in Brussels are saying, well, you know, let's get this moving. You want out so bad. You ran such a filthy little campaign about it all. Let's hurry up and get it done. Divorces that drag out are the divorces that become nastier and nastier and nastier. Tariffs? Danny Hannon says, oh, we'll still have free trade, will you? Because those questions aren't answered. And Britain, what are they going to do? Threaten to nuke the continent? France has nukes, too. Britain has no bargaining power. No leverage. And a country almost the same size as England is, to its north, thinks that its southern neighbor just went absolutely batshit insane. So maybe there'll be some hard border checkpoints on Hadrian's Wall now, too. Hard to say. Marty, you are a cynical, cynical human being. Marty says he was expecting a member of Parliament, the Tory, Danny Hannon, to say, my best friends are Pakis and Poles, and the check is in the mail, and I won't do something in your mouth. Some of the bigger lies. But like others, the Brexit is what the Brexit will be. But it is also a potential foreshadowing for what can happen here. Because it can happen here. You've got Hillary now trotting out Elizabeth Warren. I don't know if this is auditioning for the vice presidency or what. I hope the hell not. I don't want Elizabeth Warren being vice president. We need a progressive voice in the Senate of the United States, as opposed to fulfilling what John Adams called the most meaningless job in the history of the world, or something like that. Showing up on a stage wearing matching pantsuits, where, bless her heart, Elizabeth Warren gave a resounding, she performed a resounding shade casting at Donald Trump. Had some funnier moments in it, but along the way, she also used the word, she also referred to Donald Trump as a money grubber. In any speech in which Hillary Clinton is in the room, I would not use the phrase money grubber. Not considering what she's done vis-a-vis hedge fund managers and Wall Street generally and that sort of thing. Donald Trump is doing everything he can to tank his ostensible campaign. Today he disappeared because he went to Pennsylvania to give a big trade speech, and they stood him in front of a wall of garbage. No, really. That's what I mean. He just disappeared. You couldn't tell him from the other garbage. Lo and behold, according to CNN, the topic of his speechifying was economic independence. Well, played in the UK. There was big fun. There was big fun had in the social media world with Trump's big pile of garbage. Staffer 1. So, just whatever you do, don't put him in front of a giant pile of garbage. Staffer 2. Got it. And he walked right out there and gave the speech. It's the greatest wall of garbage that's ever been. This is a beautiful wall of garbage. This is what we're going to make our wall out of. They're going to make Mexico pay for. I don't do Trump. Dear God. So he's trying. Running around calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. He's really, really trying. And he's going to have to keep trying. Of course, by the time he gets to Cleveland, he may be speaking to an empty room. Another report I read earlier today indicated that no Republicans really want to go to Cleveland. And I don't think that's on Cleveland per se. It's not that Republicans don't like Cleveland. It's that they're in a spot they'd really much rather have a Mitt Romney or a Bush, but they got Trump, and he's really, really nasty. And at the same time, they'd kind of like to be reelected themselves because, well, Congress is a sweet gig. Governating and whatnot. But like I said, in the final analysis, the enemy of my enemy is my friend is admittedly kind of a dangerous business, but when I see the teabaggers talking about how awesome the Brexit is, I'm pretty sure I know at that point that it was a terrible idea. So there we are, pretty much an hour in. That's the close of the filibobster. God knows we've got tons and tons and tons and tons more stuff to get into because it's Titanic Tuesday, and there are manifestations of Titanic intellect just all over the place. Stunningly. I mean, we've got a Louis Gohmert sighting going back to the sit-in, the House sit-in. That's precious. It's always good when the king of asparagus drops by. So, with any luck at all, with two remaining slots in the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society challenge to go, and a $15 challenge on the table, with any luck at all, we'll fill those. And, of course, if you want to engage in the conversation, you're more than welcome to. You know, the number is 304-574-8178. The stress line is 304-663-4676. From anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And so all those means will get you into the program to participate in the conversation if there's something, if you've got a Titanic example you'd like to share. Note coming in from Robert, Australia, on the subject of Brexit. Robert says, my country is facing an election in 3 days. The Liberal Party have stated that they will not sell off Medicare to God knows who. Remember, the Liberal Party down there is their right-wing party. Up there, up over. Which means they will sell off Medicare to God knows who the first chance they get if they win. But you say you wouldn't, say the Australian people. Nah, when we said we wouldn't sell it off, we didn't mean we wouldn't sell it off. Because reasons. Front fell off. Robert says, they've done this before. Australia will never, ever have a goods and services tax, said the Libs. So they introduced one the first chance they thought they had a good excuse. So all the Brexit supporters, are now changing their tune. Why am I not surprised? It's called buyer's remorse. Meanwhile, a little bit of this from an article. British entrepreneur Richard Branson on Tuesday said his Virgin Group had pulled out of a deal involving 3,000 jobs after Britain voted to leave the EU. In a television interview, the billionaire businessman added that Britain was heading for recession after the pound slumped to its lowest level against the dollar in more than 3 decades in the immediate aftermath of last Thursday's referendum result. You know, if it falls far enough, Donald Trump can buy Buckingham Palace and just throw the old bag out on her butt and move right in and put a big neon light over it, right?
Branson urged the public to sign a petition calling for a second vote. Nearly 4 million people have signed a petition calling for a second referendum. And if the EU wants to make sure no one else leaves, their best option would be to come down on the UK like a ton of bricks. See, that's the thing. They managed to strong-arm the Greeks into staying when the Greeks actually had a damned good reason for leaving. Because they could have used a sovereign currency to get themselves out of their fix. Instead, they came up with a little more austerity. And their useless eaters are eating a little less uselessly. Or they're eating uselessly a little less, to be more precise in my language. It ain't going to be fun watching this play out. But like I said, act in haste and repent in leisure. And welcome to what passes for democracy. There had been some talk prior to the referendum that maybe it should be something more than a simple majority vote where, you know, 50% plus one lone little, just one racist could tip the scales. See, that's what I said the other evening. Everybody who voted to leave didn't need to be a racist. It just so happened that they were voting with a bunch of them. Old, cranky, bigoted, and just enough to screw the rest of the country. Pay attention as we head for November, would you? Pretty please. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio. We'll be back after a break. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's Tuesday, June 28, 2016.
Historic floods devastating coal mining country.
More deadly floods, this time in West Virginia.
Dozens of homes exploded. Roads covered in smoke and flames.
Raging wildfire kills two in California, destroys hundreds of homes. Brexit could undermine international emissions agreement. Volkswagen to pay $15 billion in emissions cheating scandal. Plus, TransCanada demands $15 billion from the U.S. for rejecting its Keystone XL pipeline.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Tuning us live from the devastation this morning with the very latest is West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who's seen these types of floods a number of times in that state.
Well, I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Oh, man. Fox News, even when they cover climate change, they can't tell the truth about it. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I hate it when stuff that you have warned us about for years actually comes to pass. But I'm afraid we're looking at that in both West Virginia and California today.
Yes, unfortunately. More historic deadly floods, just like last year in South Carolina, just like 2 weeks ago in Houston, this week hitting West Virginia. President Obama has approved federal disaster aid, and West Virginia Governor Earl Ray Tomlin has declared a state of emergency after record rainfall triggered flash floods that have killed at least 23 people, destroyed thousands of homes and businesses across the state over the weekend. West Virginia's former governor and current Democratic Senator Joe Manchin said he has never seen anything like it.
This is unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen water this high. Waters just rose so quickly. There was such a deluge of water coming at us. It never eased up at all, and people just couldn't get out.
Wow.
And it hit for almost 2 days.
One river rose 9 feet in 1 hour. The PGA Tour canceled its event at Greenbrier Resort because the golf course was flooded. Now, the owner of that Greenbrier Resort is billionaire Jim Justice, a coal baron and climate science denier who also happens to be the Democratic Party's nominee for governor.
And that gives you an indication of how bad things are in West Virginia coal country when the leading Democratic candidate for governor is also a climate change denier. Just unbelievable. What will it take?
The National Weather Service has declared this a 1,000-year rainfall event, but these events are now happening so frequently that they may need to revise those metrics. It's the opposite problem in California, where Governor Jerry Brown has declared a state of emergency over fast-moving, deadly wildfire in Kern County, north of Los Angeles, that has killed at least two people and destroyed more than 200 homes, burning over 60 square miles. Driven by high winds and historic drought, officials now say firefighters are gaining some control over the blaze, despite working in temperatures over 100 degrees.
And it's not the only fire. There are some 9 different wildfires across Southern California as we go to air here today.
In international news, in the wake of the monumental vote for Britain to exit the European Union, called Brexit for short, scientists and environmental groups are warning that it could have far-reaching implications for international climate change policy and agreements related to climate science research. Political leaders of the Leave campaign are climate science skeptics who could weaken Britain's progress in phasing out coal and its commitments to cut greenhouse gas emissions in the landmark Paris Agreement. If the exit proceeds, UN officials say the Paris Agreement emissions targets may have to be recalibrated. In the U.S., pipeline company TransCanada on Friday officially filed a formal request seeking to recover costs and damages after President Obama rejected a permit for their controversial proposed Keystone XL pipeline across the U.S. They're using a mechanism in NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which allows foreign corporations to sue national governments over unfavorable regulations. Environmental groups say TransCanada's move illustrates how a similar mechanism in the pending TPP, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership, now awaiting approval by the U.S. Congress, can also be used to weaken environmental policy.
So we used our own sovereign decision-making process on whether their pipeline can come down here into the U.S., and now they're saying we have to pay them $15 billion for having made that decision?
That's right.
Hell of a thing, these trade deals. How do I get a piece of that?
Finally, Volkswagen has reached a settlement with federal regulators in its emissions cheating scandal. The German carmaker will pay over $15 billion in fines fines and penalties. It's the largest in automotive history after it admitted last fall that it intentionally installed illegal software on its cars to cheat on U.S. vehicle emissions tests. If approved by a federal court, the settlement includes an estimated $10 billion to buy back cars from owners in the U.S., $5 billion for environmental damages and investments in zero-emissions vehicles. Earlier this month, Volkswagen announced a sweeping overhaul of its product line. It promises to deliver 30 new plug-in electric vehicle models within the next 10 years.
And they continue to face criminal investigation as well in that scandal, do they not?
Yes, they do.
For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Let me present to you my Volkswagen Blues, ready to carry me away, a long way to reach the moon. Let me present to you my Volkswagen Blues, ready to carry me away.
And it's always nice to have the Green News Report on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I wish there was some way that they could do it Monday through Friday, but that's a lot of work to put into that 6 months. That's a heck of 6 minutes of radio, and it doesn't just happen by itself. This is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, 24 minutes past the hour, 7 p.m. here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. For those of you listening live, otherwise, I hope you're enjoying your lunch, your mowing, your breakfast, or your Brexit, for that matter. Whatever. Just a general reminder, fundraising, end of the month, trying to beat the Swede, et cetera, et cetera. $15 challenge on the table, courtesy of Brother Usher Steve. And two slots left in the... secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society end of the month challenge, courtesy of Chairman and CEO Harold. Thank you very, very kindly. All right, let's run over to the phones and to the stress line and up toward Massachusetts way, I suspect. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Good, good.
Can you hear me all right?
I hear you fine.
Oh, good. Your answer is a little bit fuzzy, but... Yeah, I've called you multiple times. I'm just out in the backyard tying up tomato steaks. Tomatoes tonight.
Oh, rub it in.
Tomato plant. And I can really rub it in. I've been having a three-week argument with a groundhog that refuses to stay out of my garden.
Ooh.
I'm losing it right now, but he's going to lose it in the end. I found out where all his little tunnels are.
Oh, is he going to get flooded out?
What's that?
Is he going to have a flood?
Oh no, he can't flood sand.
Oh,
no, he's going to have a bad smell.
Ah, I understand.
Get him by trapping or snares or something like that. And that's where I'm going with this too. With that too. You know, how I know so many people who are anti-immigration. I've told you before, my mother grew up in Germany, and my father was a German soldier, met her over in Germany, brought her back here, blah, blah, blah. You know, normal story. And I know so many people that I work with and friends of mine who just, they're anti-immigrant. With this global warming, they don't realize we've got to start being very nice to people. Because when we have to leave the areas that we're living in now because of drought or some other reason, we might have to go overseas somewhere or into a different part of the country. And you know how people are just about that. I mean, when New Orleans flooded, I heard so many people, oh, it's a bad day, better not come up here. You know, it's going to happen.
Well, sure. That's why I said that. That motion is quite possibly one of the single most defining characteristics of human societies. They don't stay where it's bad. And yeah. And you know, for that matter, for the let me just rub this in a little bit. for the UK to complain about immigration when a whole bunch of the instability in the region of the world where the immigrants are coming from was caused because Tony Blair got suckered into participating with Dim Leader in the slaughter of Iraq, well, it rings a little bit hollow with me.
Yeah. Yep. I've actually worked with a couple inspectors on road projects that came here right after, and one of them came here after the somehow after this Gulf War. He didn't explain to me how he did that. He might have been Curtis, though. But the other one came here two or three years after we invaded. They were real nice guys. They were very standoffish because they, you know, you really had to be nice to them before they talked to you. You know, they did their job and they didn't converse except for their jobs because, you know, when people found out that they were Iraqis, they treated them like, you know, and didn't want to talk to them. But it's, people don't, you know, it's just an ignorance, mainly.
Well, I mean, I think ignorance is a broad heading, and maybe under that broad heading we put things like fear and bigotry and phobia and racism, and because they're all born, yes, they are all born of ignorance. Now the upside is that ignorance is curable. You know, you can't fix stupid, but ignorance can be helped.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so much ignorance and there's so little anti-ignorance, you know, so little knowledge being put out there. And some of these guys that I work with, oh my God. You know, we all work in a union and these guys are just Trump, 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 Trump. And you try telling them something, you know, like what I try with guys with daughters. I tell him, and I even show him on the web, what he said about his own daughter when she was 15 years old. And I look at him, that doesn't bother you? Well, I don't believe that. I didn't hear that, but I don't know. You know, because they listen to Fox News. Fox News isn't going to put that on. I don't think they ever will, even though they hate him, you know, even though they don't want him as a candidate. But, and, the other thing, like Elizabeth Warren, how they all of the right wingers got on her about being an Indian and not being an Indian and, you know, shit like that. That's just, I think I told you that before about me. My grandfather on my mother's side was a German soldier. You know, and a lot of my best friends don't know that because I used to go over to Germany and visit when I was a kid when I came home, and it didn't come from the second graders and fourth graders that I went to school with, it came from their grandparents. I never had it from my family, and my family was huge, right? My grandfather fought in the war, my godfather, great uncles. I have like six great uncles who all fought in the war, and none of them have ever said, you know, your grandfather was a Nazi, or, you know, you're a Nazi because you came from Germany. But I heard it when I was a kid. And I can relate to Elizabeth Warren because at the time that she was growing up, everybody looked down on Indians. And for her to say that she was an American Indian of Indian descent at that point in time, she would have been looked down upon, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s when she grew up. You know, Indians back in down out in the Midwest, you know better than I do. They're still treated like crap. And that's why you know, everybody. Every time I hear somebody saying, "Oh, she's just lying," she wants to get in the clothes. No, people don't say that when they're a kid. To get this, they don't choose to be part of a minority group or a group that's discriminated upon. And it's just, you know, you actually hide things like that. You know, when you find out what it really is.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a ton of people in Southern West Virginia. Okay, who have indigenous ancestry. They can't prove it. All they have is family stories. But yeah. one look answers the question. Because you see, at the time of Andrew Jackson's genocide, not everybody cooperated. Not everybody went along. Some people went and hid out in the deep in the hills and hollers of Appalachia and married into white people.
Yeah, I can believe that.
And they're here to this day.
I've been to West Virginia. I told you I've been to West Virginia. It's a good place to hide.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's places you're going to be a long time finding, even with GPS. But the question is, you know, would Trump make fun of them and call them Pocahontas too? Because I know one woman in particular that if he called her Pocahontas, she'd beat him within an inch of his life. Because she's that tough and she's that mean.
That's one thing I want to put up. Trump said today that, or yesterday, whenever it was, that she should take a DNA test to check her how much Indian or something like that. She should come out with, all right, after you take an IQ, you say you're so damn smart, you take an IQ test. And we could actually see where he stands. I bet you he's really not that smart, because he does not, even though he's a knower of big words, he doesn't use them. He repeats himself constantly. You know, the fucking Cheeto. It's a Cheeto with a bad fucking hairdo. But.
Well, I don't think we're out. I don't think we're out of the woods. Well,
I don't.
Let me rephrase that. I don't think there's a result that happens in November that that provides much in the way of relief. Does that make any sense? I don't think anything that happens in November is going to make much of a difference. I mean, yes, Trump could be a complete disaster.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Can you imagine his ego?
But if anything Hillary has said is an indication, she has no bold plans for meaningful change. I want to share something with you right here, real quick. This just came in from our chat room buddy Barkway, and she wrote, "Tomorrow, I'll have to fork out $2,500 in health insurance premium, homeowners insurance, and property tax. My spouse and I are on fixed income of Social Security payments and retirement investment payments, which only pays us quarterly, and we must make it last for 3 months. Just these three bills tomorrow will put us in a deficit hole, and except for the $1,400 a month in Social Security, we won't get any more income until September. I spent a month in the hospital last year, 8 days of that in a coma, 2 weeks in ICU, and I'm struggling to pay off my not small portion of the bill, even though I have insurance. My spouse, who thankfully is old enough for Medicare, has pancreatic cancer and mounting costs associated with that, for which Medicare doesn't contribute. Our 22-year-old son has a spinal condition that made him have to drop out of college because he was in too much pain to sit in class, and he can't work for the same reason, so we have his support as well. Every day we get up and worry, when will the money run out, and what will we lose when it does? And we just don't see any relief, ever. Who is going to do anything that could possibly help us? Trump? Not likely. Hillary? Doubt it. Congress? Not as they are now. Bernie possibly could have given his campaign positions, but he's out now. We never imagined we would be at this stage of life and living in fear every day. Golden years, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's Reaganomics right there. That's the Republicans, and we have a lot of them in our party. We're the same way. You know better than I do. You have to live with them there. Your senator and your governor, and I'm sure a lot of your congressmen. But
yeah, so I mean, where's the solution? And you know, that's one note from one member of this community. And we know enough about size and scale that if that's a note that I get on this little program, then that's a life that's being lived not just by one couple or by one family, but by thousands, if not millions. I mean, I mentioned Texas a little bit ago and the fact that they couldn't feed themselves if they seceded.
Well, I've been there. You can't eat cactus.
No.
And the fire ants make life a living hell down there.
Well, and look, with climate change doing what climate change does, Texas couldn't recover from its flooding without federal disaster relief.
I think we should just let them succeed. Take all the NASA equipment out of there, bulldoze the buildings down like they did in other countries, and take all the military equipment out of there and say, okay, see you later. We're building a wall up here. And just say, Mexico, come and get it.
Yeah, well, no, because Mexico doesn't want them either. That's the other thing about Texas. Texas is one of the most polluted, environmentally toxic states in the union.
Yeah.
And so the larger point is that, for instance, you know, Texas has the single largest population of uninsured people in the United States. And that's without counting
I bet that goes for cars, home, auto, everything, and health insurance.
Oh, I think so. And that's without counting undocumented immigrants, okay?
Yep.
The people who have to live in the shadows because we have determined that they have to live in the shadows.
Yep.
American citizens, by the tens of millions, do not have health insurance. And as I've said before on this program, you can't provide them health insurance through the subsidized capitalist corporate welfare part of the Affordable Care Act. Their only hope is Texas taking up the Medicaid expansion or universal single payer health care. And there is no way to compel them to take the Medicaid expansion. Thank you, John Roberts.
Bob, I have an aunt who lives in Connecticut. She's 50-something years old. She used to own her own business. She works for FedEx. She works during Christmas. She'll work 70, 80 hours a week. Right now, she's probably 50 or 60, but she's up there. She works six days a week. During Christmas, it's seven. And she has no health insurance because she was hired as a part-time employee.
No.
That's up here. That many hours from one employer and she doesn't get in health insurance.
No. And how is that part of anything we could even remotely consider to be the policy of a civilized nation?
You can't.
And see, that's another one of those things that I said, you know, coming out of the convention. I want to hear Hillary Clinton say, and I don't want any weasel words, particularly the word affordable. I want to hear her say, health care is a human right.
Yeah.
Because in the past, she
That's
said,
all right in, the
in the in the past, she said, affordable health care is a human right. Bullshit. Because that means that the human right attaches to the for-profit industry that is providing the health insurance.
Yes.
So it's
what it's getting down to.
Yeah. And you know, where I want to be abundantly clear. I wish I could get excited about this campaign. I wish there was something, anything in Hillary Clinton's campaign for me to get excited about. There isn't. I mean, it took Elizabeth Warren showing up on stage with her to get people to fill a building up.
Yeah.
That's sad and worrisome.
And I hope she doesn't pick Warren. I really don't.
Well, it'll be the end of Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Massachusetts has too many Republicans they can rely on to fill her seat. And I'd hate to see that again.
Well, Scott Brown might move back from New Hampshire.
Oh, the fucking asshole.
I mean, just because he's out there. Did you see that? He's demanded, by God, because he's a former Playgirl centerfold, Scott Brown. He has demanded that Elizabeth Warren take a DNA test to prove that she really has indigenous blood.
Yeah. But she should say, she should tell Donald, hey, I'll take one. You take an IQ test.
Ooh.
And I'd like to see her say that to his face. Oh, that'd be
well,
great.
And you know, she might.
And that woman has the balls to do it too. A friend of mine knows her a little bit. He's big into politics. He works for OSHA, and he's met her a few times. And he said she's something. He told me that quite a few times. She's something. But.
Well, I don't see her star rising on Hillary's coattails.
No. I'd rather see her as the first female president after Bernie.
Yeah.
You know? And she couldn't run with Bernie either, because she's also from the North.
Right, and well, I mean, come on, let's be honest. Now that the primaries are done with, you know, Hillary never had any notion that she was going to carry Talabama or South Carolina, Stan.
Oh,
She pretended to care about Democrats there for precisely as long as she needed them to create her as the presumptive Democratic nominee. I mean, do you realize what a different story it had been if the early primaries had been places like Colorado and Minnesota and Wisconsin and Washington and Oregon? All the headlines would have read, "What's the matter with Hillary?"
Mm-hmm. All right, Bob, I took up enough of your time. I got to go back in the garden and listen to my headphones.
All right. Good luck.
When my wife comes home, she'll be happy that I cut all the plants up.
Sounds good. And what kind of tomatoes? By the way,
Bob,
I gotta know.
Bob, two things. Anybody who's out there who has a problem with watering lawns, look into this rain drip stuff. It waters the plant individually. You attach it to hose and it just drip 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 on each plant right near the base of it. And it conserves a lot of water.
Oh, nice. But I have to ask, what kind of tomatoes do you have in?
Cherokee, all kinds. Just a lot of heirloom. All heirloom, actually.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
I keep wanting to tell you, while it's still on my mind, I forgot all winter to tell you. Your heat problems in your bedroom? I don't heat my second floor, and it gets cold around here. All our beds have mattress heating pads. Look into getting one. They're electric. It's plugged in the wall, but they're better than an electric blanket because the heat comes from underneath you.
Ooh, very nice. I will look into one of those.
And they're not that expensive. And as long as you keep the kids from jumping on them, they last a long time.
Well, at this point in time, if the kids jumped on them, the bed would collapse because they're not kids anymore.
Yeah. And don't have sex on them either, because that's just like kids jumping on them, if you know what I mean.
Well, I kind of do. I kind of do.
All right, but they're really good.
I will take that without further comment.
Okay.
All right, have a good one. Bye now.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bob. Bye.
My pleasure. And rolling onward, I think we've got Todd in South Carolina, Stan.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
What's happening?
Well, I just have just a couple comments and then a question, because I think you're going to have a hotline tonight. Anyway, listen, that's your cowbell. You know, history is handy. I think I heard you say that.
Yeah, well, it does. It is. I mean, for those who want to bother with it.
No. See, don't understate. That is the most understated, heavily weighted comment.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't, Todd, because the number of people who don't want to bother with history is astonishing. I mean, I got Jay Cruzen in the chat room, who just told me that when I said keep Germany from kicking the shit out of the French by having Europe united. Having Germany united has been 40 years of Germany kicking the shit out of all the rest of Europe economically. And I read that and I just went, yeah, see, there's a big difference between getting bombed, shot, burned, gassed, blasted, and, you know, economics. You know, quite often you don't wind up pulling hundreds of bodies out of the rubble because of economics. War, on the other hand, is a very bloody business, and to discount it is sort of short-sighted.
I'm just saying, that was a loaded, understated, sarcastic, wonderful thing you said.
Well, thank you.
I had to do a lot of stuff. You know, I was in and out, and the connection was dropping, and blah blah blah. But that just struck me because it's so true, and it's maybe we want to call. I really want to call Dr. O'Brien. What if I can catch him one day? Because I have a question I want to ask him.
Oh, he'll be thrilled to take. He'll be thrilled to field it. He will.
Because I had to, you know, life circumstances have taken me away from the show. But I wish I had a history instructor like him when I was in school. Because you think he's not going somewhere with something, and if you keep listening, it's like, you know. And I'm thinking, is he really going there? Oh my God. So, but we would, okay, I'm not going to go into that right now, but yes, but that statement, oh my God, it just piqued me. It just P-E-A-K-E-D me, you know, it really did. Because how can those people, how can you vote to leave? Trade, if you trade with someone, you're much less likely to have a war. Haven't we had, it's not even that long ago. You know what I mean? It's not like it was 100, it's not that long ago. I think I'm sounding ignorant right now, but I'm just a little bit nervous and excited because...
No, that's okay.
I mean, you must feel like I feel. I mean, what a dumbass move.
Yeah.
I mean, they even admitted it, right? They were like, oh, wait a minute. We didn't think it would happen. I heard this in the interview, but I listened to DVD.
Oh, I really didn't think my vat would count much. Hey, buddy, you're in the UK. You're not in the United States. You weren't voting on video games, okay? Your vote was going to count. But you know, but Todd, when people get frustrated, especially when ignorant people get frustrated, they break things just to watch the pieces fall. And that's what you've got in the Trump people. That's what you've got in the teabaggers. And that's what you've got in the Brexit voters. The leave people, because
well, see that's what's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's a relatively polite British version of saying "burn, baby, burn." Mm-hmm. I mean, they shit on their own sovereign currency. Sound as a pound, baby. No more. I mean,
what is this? How many years are we into the tunnel? We're less than 20 years into the tunnel, right?
I'm not sure. Yeah, not much more, if it is more.
Mm-hmm. They need a primer. I don't know. They need a history primer. I don't know.
No, you know what they need? They need John Donne. He's their own damn poet, and they need John Donne. He gave them the perfect analogy centuries ago.
What are you saying, mate?
He gave them the perfect analogy centuries ago. I mean, they don't even have to think about it. It's not like you've got to sort out the meaning like reading Ulysses. No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, and believe you me, in Great Britain there were plenty of clods, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I'm involved in mankind. Therefore send not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. I mean, how much more obvious can you get?
Wow. What a drop of wisdom that was.
I mean, he's using it as a metaphor for humanity, but by the same token, it's a pretty good commentary on the ongoing relationship between the British island and the continent.
Right.
There's always been a relationship, but every so often the British go batshit crazy. I can't remember what century or what year it was, but there was that time when after Jewish people had successfully and peacefully lived in Britain for centuries, they had one of their periodic uprisings of bigotry and xenophobia, and they said, "That's right, out with all the Jews, come on out. No, you can't take your stuff, we're seizing your property, because you're wealthy now, and we'd like to have it." And so they ran all the Jews out. Well, now they want to run the Muslims out. I mean, they really are. Because of their colonialist attitudes or their colonialist history, they've developed a taste for other countries' cuisines.
That's exactly what the fuck I was going to say. Oh, my God. That's exactly.
They love them some curry.
See, if you've not been over there, I hate to talk about New York, but I mean, seriously, if you've ever been there, I was there in the late 70s, and I'm telling you, the traditional British cuisine is nothing. It's like the middle of Pennsylvania. Seasoning, they call it salt and pepper is seasoning.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't have shit to eat if it wasn't for the foreigners, period.
But the thing is, so you've got these mom and pop operations running restaurants and so forth that have been there for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. You got families that have been there that long, or at least since the Indian partition in 1948, and all of a sudden some dumbass is walking up to them saying, "Oh, that's right, time to go. Get out. We invited Leith. Get out, Packy."
Yeah. See, it's really interesting, but like you said, maybe it just pops up every little period, whatever period.
Well, there's ugliness that lies in the human heart, and you know what? They've got. I think there's a part of this. I haven't seen a lot about it, but I think there's a part of this that has a bit of. It's like a microcosm of the Obama phenomenon. You know how the minute that Barack Obama became elected president, all the progress we thought we had made on race, we suddenly found out was no progress at all because there were just a whole bunch of white people that were pissed off that suddenly wanted to scream that word really loudly, and we've just been waiting for them, you know, sometimes. And the fetus fondler.
God.
Referred to Barack Obama as the nig.
Oh,
Rick Santorum. Yeah, yeah. That comment that we didn't want our welfare dollars going to blah people.
The blah people.
And so what happened with the election of Barack Obama is that it sort of opened up this nasty ass egg. That turned out to be full of racism and hatred. Well, I think the same thing sort of happened in a smallish way with the election of London's new mayor, Khan.
You know?
Oh, bloody hell. What? One of them?
Yeah, but you know, come on. You have colonized those people for centuries, right? Because they had the best navy. Until, you know, the Chinese did, but then, you know, whatever. But right, so you know that was they were, you know what they say, the sun never sets on the British Empire. So you know you like the food, you like the spices, but you know we don't want them to come here. That is just the most ridiculous thing, and everybody's all intermarried there. I mean, it is a world of difference, honestly, when you just cross those 20 miles from Dover over to France, but. The lack, just the ignorance. But you know, back to the ignorance. And see, this is the thing. It's just a backlash because we're having the whole world is hurting economically, and that's what happens historically when the economy goes bad. The folks in charge, or whoever thinks they're being hurt the most, who's had the most, they blame it on the people under them. Well, it's their fault. You know, it just seems like that's what happens. If, maybe I'm not explaining this right.
No, you are. You're getting right to the heart of it. Fear, as per the previous conversation, fear is a function of ignorance. And as we all know, fear is the mind killer.
It's growing pains. The whole world, listen, we're pretty soon, we're all going to be related. And you can't stop, you cannot stop change. You can't stop progress. Well, you know, once you light a candle, that wick has been lit. You've seen the fire.
I'm not enough of a Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, Todd, to think that there aren't problems. There are problems. The thing is, the problems that there are largely the making of the people who are now suffering them. How much of the hell and chaos to which primarily the continent has been subjected was the making of George W. Bush and Count Dicula and kind of Sleazy Rice and that guy who stuck his comb in his mouth. Rumsfeld, you know, this all goes back to our decision to go. You know, he tried to kill my daddy, and we cracked hell open in the world, in the land between the rivers, and everything is flowing downhill from that, isn't it?
Absolutely, Bob. That's it. The guts are out. It's disgusting, and we did it. And they're war criminals. That's what the most dangerous people in the past 50 years are the Supreme Court justice who passed, Scalia, Rumsfeld, and Bush. Okay? And maybe Kissinger, if you want to throw him.
Well, Kissinger, but I don't think we give Count Dicula a pass either.
No, I didn't say Cheney. I meant to say Cheney. Because him, I mean, my God, he no big contracts. Oh, we need to go to war. Yeah, we got to go to war. We got to do this. For what? And see, I'm from the place where Geno Steaks is, right? Geno's is like, no, we're having no more French fries, freedom fries. I'm like, you sound like a dick. What the fuck is your problem? You know, but they, you know, people who didn't want to go to war are like, well, you're anti-American. I want my apology. We were right. You know, and every time we keep dropping a bomb over there, we make enemies instead of friends. Every time we bomb a wedding, we make enemies instead of friends. It's not a
sure.
good situation.
And you know, we are not at all equipped to deal with or to even attempt to understand the Muslim world, such as it is. I mean, I don't like the idea of the Muslim world any more than I like the word Christendom, but it is what it is. We are ignorant. Again, it comes back to ignorance, Todd. We are ignorant of that world. And you know what? I'm part of the problem. I guess I'm part of the problem, too, because while I'm all for whoever, we've got so-called freedom of religion in the United States, I'm all for anybody being able to worship the way they want to. And thus far, I don't see, and granted, I'm in West Virginia, so maybe I'm not gonna, but I'm not aware of a lot of stories from around the country of anybody knocking on doors saying, salam alaikum, brother, would you like to become a follower of Allah? But by God, there's plenty of people beating down doors trying to get people to join into some evangelical fundamentalist cult, Christian-wise. But we do not understand, nor are we interested in understanding the Muslim world. And you know what? It's beautiful. It has its beauties.
Look, I'm not pro-Muslim or anti-Muslim, but what I am is pray how you want to pray, but leave me alone and don't drag me into your religion. Because I do remember what George Bush was saying when he went over there. And remember, the Christian right, the ones that helped bring Reagan to power, the ones that help bring Bush to power, right? These born-again Christian people, see, they have a different view. And they even think that the founding fathers here were Christians. That's how stupid they are. You know, or uninformed, ill-informed, I would say. Ill-informed. I don't want to call them stupid. because they still have the ability to learn if they want to take the time. But they choose not to take the time, apparently. See, because, you know, like people have said, you know, when he starts quoting these Bible scriptures, you know, this is like the new crusade.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Maybe we should leave those people alone because they think differently than we do. They like theocracy. Now, our extremists over here like theocracy too, but our system is not supposed to be set up like that. And they swear it is, and that's one of the problems. That's one of the problems, because we're supposed to... just like they said, well, Obama's a Muslim. You know what? So what? If he is a Muslim, so what?
Well, he's a pretty damn poor one. Barbecue-eating, beer-drinking.
He's a capitalist like a motherfucker, if you ask me, to stop Mark.
Well, the beer and the barbecue is pretty much enough to keep him out of Muslim heaven, isn't it?
But they don't see that. But, all right. You know, this is the question, because you got me off on a tangent.
I'm sorry.
Trying to call. It's just this history thing. That history's handy. See, that's why I want to talk to Dr. O'Brien. I want to ask him a question. It's very important to me. I really do. But anyway, this is what I don't understand. In light of what's happening in your area, it's so sad. Now, we finally got some rain. You guys don't need any rain. You know, it's raining.
Yeah, I remember a time last September or October or so, y'all didn't need any rain either. Y'all got one of what we got.
Exactly.
Out of season, crazy amounts, climate change.
So my question is, what is it going to take? Once you guys can pass a budget, or when you decide to pass a budget, what is it going to take for your lawmakers? Because it is like back to Dunn. See, Dunn is correct, in my opinion, on a microcosm and a macrocosm. You know, we don't live in a bubble. You know, when people are uninsured, they go to work sick. And they might have communicable diseases, and you might you might not get sick, but you get your kids sick. And you wonder, well, why is my baby sick? Oh, my baby died. Oh, my God. Because we could have done better, and we didn't. But what is it going to take for your legislators to figure out that your folks, the hillbilly folks, the Appalachian people, right, you guys need help to pull out of a mono economy?
But we don't. But well, yeah, we do. We do need that help, Todd. But we ain't going to get it because we don't want it.
No, that's a petty. That's a simple. Come on, Bob. Come on. That can't be true.
No, it is true. The vast look, like I said, Hillary Clinton's going to lose 80-20 here. If the rest of the country overwhelmingly stomps the guts out of Donald Trump, Donald Trump will win 80-20 here, or 70-30, or 60-40. Okay? It's not even going to be close. You can't hardly rub salt in wounds, or it seems awfully ugly to do so, so you can't start talking about climate change to people who have had their who've had their entire lives destroyed, and some having lost their lives. You can't say, well, by the way, you know, all those coal fuckers, they were lying to you about climate change not being real. It's real, and this is it. Because it doesn't help. And it's not going to make them finally understand.
But anybody who's been in West Virginia, your best asset is nature. That is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. It's amazing. I mean, it can't be the only economy, obviously, like nature walks and stuff like that. That's not going to pull in enough. But why can't you get your lawmakers to muscle in, just like the TVA? Come on, the TVA pulled a lot of people out of poverty. You need a nouveau TVA.
Well, no, we need a Marshall Plan for Appalachia.
Exactly. I mean,
but
it's a big deal.
Everything that looks like a Marshall Plan for Appalachia funds a foundation that then trickles some money down to and nothing ever does any real good. When I say a Marshall Plan for Appalachia, a 56-year-old guy who has already given, let's see, 36, who's already given 38 years of his life to the coal industry, running D9 Caterpillars on strip jobs, that guy doesn't need to be job retrained so he can have another job for the next 10 years. That sucker, that son of a bitch is given enough. Okay?
Well, talking about his kids,
he needs a check. He needs a check for the rest of his work life. He needs a check that will get him up to Social Security every month. And he needs health insurance. And fortunately, we're a Medicaid state. And the younger workers, yeah, retraining for some. Some of them, however, there's bulldozer work somewhere else. There's dirt work. Go do it. You know, my dad, bless his heart, saw the handwriting on the wall in 1960 and left his beloved West Virginia. The only other time he'd been out of this state was to go to Cincinnati Reds baseball games on the train. And to go and bob around in the bottom of an aircraft carrier for 3 years in the South Pacific. And he said, hell with it, and left and went to, of all places, Alabama, where he got a good union job working on a silicon furnace. Some of that has to be done here. But there's another side of this, too. And we keep talking about it, and nothing happens. Less than 3% of all the mountaintop removal sites have been properly reclaimed within the meaning of the law in this state. And the same number probably applies
less
to Virginia.
Than 3%.
And the same probably applies to Kentucky and Virginia. If the federal government took on the, just looked at the coal industry and said, listen, we know you skeevy lying cocksuckers, you miserable bastards, you sorry bags of fucking pus, because there's not enough bad I can say about the coal industry. They killed family members of mine back up the generation, so I don't have to like them, Todd. We knew that we just say to them, look, we knew you were never going to fulfill your obligations because you're a bunch of goddamn crooks.
Mm-hmm.
So we, the people of the United States, in order to form that more perfect union, we're going to reclaim these mountains, and you get away from them forever. Leave. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. And we can give all those people who have spent so much time destroying the mountains jobs trying to keep the mountains from coming down in someone's backyard.
See, that is a total statewide.
And that's a region.
Lawsuit.
That's a region
wide.
That's
that Harlan County shit. They've been doing that for generations. Exactly.
And that is a job for a generation. And by then, we should be able to bring in something besides a mono economy. But as Gerald pointed out on the program last night, what do we get? Bullet factories. Can we get a wind turbine component factory? No. Can we get a solar panel factory? No. But you can have a bullet factory.
Damn. Okay. Alright.
Sorry, got a little worked up. I apologize.
All right. Well, I'll try. I'm idealistic. You need pressure because you and Dr. O'Brien and a couple other people can't do it alone. You need a coalition.
No, and there's more progressives out there. But here's the fun thing: we've also got a mountain party. You know, a group of supposed Greens who siphon off all the progressive goodwill and encourage people to leave the Democratic Party instead of fixing it. Now, in the Democratic Party, Todd, we did something pretty damned extraordinary at the state convention earlier this month.
I was excited about that.
We passed one of the most progressive Democratic state party platforms in the country. $15 minimum wage. Health care is a human right. Universal single payer. Legalization of cannabis. Now, Joe Manchin and his cabal want nothing to do with that. All they're interested in is getting Jim Justice, a coal baron, elected governor. And they got a problem.
Oh, Kente man.
Yeah. Jim Tejinte.
Well, you got some work cut out for you.
He's the Democratic nominee for governor, Todd. The Democratic nominee for governor.
That's disgusting. Wow.
And so they're running away from the progressive platform as hard as they can go. But they have a problem because Hillary Clinton has no coattails in this state. So people are going to have to zigzag back and forth across the ballot. Well, yeah, okay, I'm definitely voting for Trump because he's going to make Mark great again. And I hate that Harry. But now I'm going to move over and I'm going to vote for Jim Justice because he's got signs that Jim won't give up on coal. They're all over the place, and there's other signs that say tired of being 50th with a big picture of Jim Justice. Well, we're 50th because of people like Jim Justice. Goddamn coal barons.
I mean, why can't they add it up? One and one, it's a simple addition. One and one is two. And two means it ain't you.
Yeah.
Who's going to prosper? Ugh. Well, damn. Look, I can't get over this less than 3%, because if you look at a normal distribution, 3% is the tail, right? Like usually, you know, around 3%. So that's less than a tail in terms of what you said, the reclamation rate of the mountaintop removal. Is that what you were telling me?
Yeah.
Now, that alone, that seems like that has standing for a class action lawsuit. Because that's abysmal. That's not even close.
No.
Am I talking crazy? What?
No, you're not talking crazy at all. You're talking sane. But you know what? People would, if you came here and said that kind of thing in West Virginia, people would look at you like you have three heads.
Okay, I have to do some more research, and I don't get it, because that, I mean, if you just look at what it does, we don't have to run through all this, but my God, I mean, I know people want money, they need jobs, but it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not the people's fault. And they might want to call it socialism, what? But you know, if it takes a check, then they need a check. But stop the nonsense.
Well, yeah, and let's stop pretending that's welfare. Because I have a different approach to what it means to be an American and what it means to be a human on planet Earth. Because we have a model now that says that the moment you are born, you sign a contract with corporate America that says that to some extent or another, you owe them some percentage of your existence.
Yep.
And I couldn't disagree with that more.
Well, I'm...
And Agnes and I have these conversations where... And I hate myself for it, okay? I hate myself for it. But you drive around this state and you see little children. And you look at them and you go, doomed. 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 And they're not the authors of their own doom. What child ever is, Todd?
No, they're trapped. And no. What can you
do? There are kids that I remember from taking my own kids to their first day of school, their first day of kindergarten, and, you know, mommy or daddy, sometimes both, kind of get to stay in the background, make sure the kids are comfortable and everything, they don't flip out, or, you know. And of course, you know, ours didn't. But I remember seeing, and they were children who were absolutely precious. And let's see, one of them has been in and out of jail and has, I think, damn near gutted a guy with a knife. Probably 50% of them have been pregnant or had their first kid before they were 20. And they live in a culture that tells them that tells women that if they get pregnant, they have no choice whatsoever. That it is God's will that they bear a child that they are incapable of caring for. Some of those precious little children from that first day of school, their teeth are rotting out in their heads, Todd. Some of them quit school when they were 16. I mean, it's rough. And what really hurts is when you realize that there is no plan whatsoever to correct any of this. Because even the well-meaning liberalish types who recognize the problems we have in education and so forth, in the same breath, they'll tell you, we sure do need our coal industry.
It's gone. It's like they've made it a colony, like a mono economic colony. That's it.
Yes.
Coal or nothing. And it might be, if you're a cute little girl, you might be a waitress at the restaurant for the guys who are working. If you're a guy, working coal or green moonshine or moonshine or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know what happens with that. You know. Like I said, I've been there, man. It's off. It's really sad. It's very, it's like they're setting people up for disaster. And, they see a traveler, someone traveling in the schools, whatever. Like I was like, oh, money. They got money. It's sad. It doesn't have to be like that. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be. They need a new TV. Just break the system. That's what I'm saying. Break the system. I mean, if you want that coal, leave it right there. Do something with it. Leave it there. Make sure that any kind of new energy, solar panels or windmill blades, be built there. Because it's like a mess. It's a disaster.
Yeah, it is.
And we're all connected. Like Dunn said, we are all, that's what he was saying. No man's an island. We're all connected. Even in your community. You might not like the guy across the street, but guess what? At some point, we're all connected. So, anyway, I hope you have a good barbecue if you can have one. And, everybody else.
Well, thank you, Todd. You got any plans? You got any good wood set by? You got any maybe ribs kind of rubbed and marinating and waiting in the fridge, or maybe a pork shoulder in brine or anything?
My friends have a pork butt. We have a 4th of July cookout. I did see some oak. I was walking my dog. Oh my God! See, I haven't purchased charcoal in years. I just don't do it.
No.
Because it's too much.
I'll buy not the nasty briquettes, but like the lump charcoal. In a pinch, I'll buy that and use that as the base, and then chuck on the smoke the flavor woods, to do what they do.
See, you understand. Sometimes people look at me like I'm funny or whatever. They're sucked into the commercial thing, but they don't get it. I mean, it's a project, but it's okay. It's fine. It's fun to me. You get up early, you start your fire, you build it up, you knock it down, build it up, you knock it down. But I'm in the South now, and there's so much wood here. Why the hell would I buy some nasty ass charcoal when there's all kinds of oak and hickory and ash and birch and pecan wood. Oh, that's the last. I put that right before.
Yeah. That's special.
But yeah, so that's what I'll be doing.
But there's a lot of peach orchards in South Carolina. If you could get around one of those when they're pruning.
I hope Tracy's listening. Tracy's got that group. She's got the. See, my grill, I can't do any. I have two sessions left on my grill. If I raise the lid two more times, it's just going to crumble into a.
Well, my smoker's done for. I walk by and look yearningly at the Oklahoma Joe smoker periodically, but that's $288. I ain't got laying around. And then there's that knockoff of the Big Green Egg that Charbroil or whoever, Chargriller or whatever's doing. That's pretty impressive too.
That's what my buddies have. They have a Green Egg up there and just an open pit with the grates on it. And I'm just going to build a barbecue pit. But yeah, that Green Egg is, that thing will burn for 2 days.
Yes.
It will burn literally for 2 days. Well, Bob, I know somebody wants to talk to you, and I don't want to be a pest, but history is handy.
History is handy, you know? Todd. You take care, my friend.
Okay, my friend, take care.
Bye now. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. And let's run over on the stress line to Connecticut. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey.
Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening, Kevin?
You know, I'm seeing this Elizabeth Warren campaign with Hillary, and I'm like, am I living in a twilight zone? You know, they're not the same. I mean, like, almost like they're co-opting Elizabeth Warren to get her out of it. It doesn't make any more noise about Wall Street. I don't know what you think about that, but... You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I mean, what's your take on that?
I don't know. I think every minute that Elizabeth Warren stays on the campaign trail with Hillary Clinton, her credibility and her message becomes a little bit more diluted and a little bit more damaged.
That's what I was thinking. No, I'm just wondering. Yeah, I just wanted to see if I was going. I wanted to make sure I'm not the only one thinking like this, you know? Because I don't listen to a lot of radio and TV. I mean, I don't listen to... I listen to your show, and that's really about it these days. So I don't get a good reading on what's being said about analysis on her, but I
Well, I mean, one analysis, you know, one man's nightshirt's another man's pajamas. Where all that stuff is concerned, the political pundit class has shown itself to be largely clueless in the last year.
Well, I don't like the punditry or the media in this country. I told you that before, sports or politics. I think they're a bunch of windbags, to be honest with you. I hate to talk like that, but that's how I feel about them. You know, and. But no, I just wanted to get your take on that, and basically that's really, well, I called for that.
Well, as Ron in Canada put it, Elizabeth Warren brings some value as long as she doesn't let the Clinton clan get her off of her big messages. And that's the thing. I mean, that they are masters of real politics. I mean, that's why she's so close with Henry Kissinger.
Yeah.
They share right. an operating philosophy. So if they could get Elizabeth Warren to bring some progressives along and at the same time pull her teeth, it's a win-win for Team Clinton.
Yeah. I think the same way, and you know, I mean issue by issue with Hillary Clinton, number one, I don't trust her when she says that. Number two, I don't think her and Bernie Sanders are close at all on what they believe in. That's one thing. I don't think they're on the same page on a lot of issues, and many of them.
No, but it's a case of the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, but I don't buy it when she says, you know, couldn't be closer on issues. No, yeah, well, no, you're not really not. But, and then the other thing, you know, going by issue, I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I'm not voting for Trump. As far as I'm not. I as far as Hillary, whether I vote for her, I could always leave it blank. I could always not vote for anybody for president. And that. But you know, issue by issue, it's hard for me to vote for her at all because her foreign policy positions are so warlike that it's mind-boggling. You know, that she's so hawkish.
Well, and Kevin, I don't know what it's going to take for us to get through to the conservative wing of which she is the leader of the Democratic Party, that you cannot fight your way to prosperity.
Yep.
You cannot war your way to prosperity.
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily know what the answer is in the broader Middle East and North Africa. But I'm sure, I'm pretty sure we don't have that answer, and I'm equally sure that bombing the Assad regime directly is not that answer.
Well, yeah, you know, because she killed a lot of Muslims, and, you know, I know after Orlando she's saying, you know, the right thing is here, but, you know, she's killed a bunch of Muslims, you know, over there, and, you know, and, yeah,
well, I mean, another Benghazi report came out today. Once again, it exonerated her. There was no new evidence of any wrongdoing by her. Benghazi is not the issue for me. The issue for me is her, oh, my Jesus, please let's get our war on. Good God, we've got to go and bomb the hell out of Libya along with our buddies.
Well, yeah.
Because that proved to be a disaster.
Yeah, and she has much dislike for Putin and Russia. I'm afraid that she's going to get in there, and you know, it's her State Department that helped to overthrow the Ukraine government, you know, and you know, I'm very wary of her and what it would bode for militarism around the world if she gets elected. You know, I don't think Trump would be much better either, no matter what he says either. But he's easily compromised too. But I believe we're definitely not leaving the neoliberal era. With, you know, it's going to remain, and the Democrats are wedded to the neoliberal project that they have been since Clinton won, and. The Democrats are pro-military, they're pro-corporate, and they can, like Chris Hedges says, you know, they can talk in niceties about the liberal era and, you know, civil rights and all that. They're closer to the Republicans than people realize, this Democratic Party, and it's just, that's all I really want to say. I wanted to get your take on the Elizabeth Warren thing, though, and I'm glad you gave me your take on it.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Kevin, and I appreciate your patiently waiting. I really, really do.
Okay, you have a great night, okay? And one other thing, Bob?
Yeah.
I read your tweet over the weekend, and I said, yeah, it's probably not great to make a robocall like that. I read your tweet. I started thinking
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Looking out at the floods and the devastation, and you pick up the phone, finally rings because the phone's back on, and it might be somebody telling you, you know, it might be a beloved loved one calling to say, we're okay, are you okay? And you pick up the phone, Kevin, and, hi, I'm Hillary Clinton. I'm not running against Donald Trump. I'm running for you.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I mean, I would have known it hadn't I read your tweet, because I tell you, I look at your Twitter account sometimes, you know, and I just couldn't believe it. But I guess it happened, but I couldn't believe it. That's tone deafness, right, Bob?
Or just not giving a damn. You know, that's just too much to go into a phone bank system and pull out all the area code 304 and 971 or whatever. It's, I don't know
what
other area code
is. It's thoughtlessness, and it's terrible. I don't know how to I'll say it. You know, I don't want to be a bleeding heart here, but it really is disgusting. But anyway, Yeah, I just wanted to mention that to you. Thanks for the heads up on the robocall. I probably would have known about it hadn't I read your tweet, though. So thank you.
Well, my pleasure. No, nobody knows about that. This is just something that was privately told to me.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Glad you let us know. Have a good night, Bob.
All right, Kevin. Thank you so much. Bye now. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Calling from Connecticut, that's Kevin. And about 28 minutes before the hour, and what I'd hoped would be a sort of a bounce back from last night is proving to be a little bit tough. But I can say that Brother Usher Steve's challenge has been met by Christopher. Thank you very, very kindly, Chris, up in far Canada. And so that would leave $15 to fill the one of the two last remaining slots of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trail Roundup Society challenge for the end of June. And we are every bit of $100 plus away from finishing the fundraising for this evening. We raised $120 last night. So that means, beating the Swedes, barring some dramatic action, beating the Swedes is getting kind of tough. But my goodness gracious, Todd, I do believe, has conjured Tracy. Is that the case, Tracy?
I kid you not. Is this like the second time that this has happened? That I'm just thinking of the show, and I seem to listen just when you I started talking about barbecue and Todd. Like, I hope Tracy's listening. I'm like, I'll be damned.
Yeah, see? Yeah, exactly. So have you been smoker shopping?
Yes. I have been smoker shopping, and I was looking at that egg thing that you guys were talking about, and I'm like...
The green one or the char griller?
The char griller one.
Yeah, because I don't think any of us in the Horn family community commune can afford a big green egg. Them suckers are the price of cars.
Yeah, but they're beautiful.
Oh, yes, they are.
But then, a couple of weeks ago, my friend... Sarah had her little boy graduated from elementary school, so I had his graduation party, and his father's a chef, and he barbecues for the party. He did ribs, he did chicken.
Oh my!
Hot dog, not hot dogs, links and hamburgers, and I was chucked. It was like right after we had spoke about smokers and like don't just get a freestanding one. Don't do the whole don't add on the smoke box to yours, just get a freestanding. So I was telling him that I really wanted to get a smoker. So he's like, well, let me know when you're ready because I got a boy in the hood that'll hook you up and make you one, for like $80.
Whoa.
So.
Okay.
That's what I probably wind up doing. And it'll be this, it'll be out of a, like an oil barrel, but it'll be.
Yeah, 55 gallon drum.
Not horizontal. Yeah, so it'll be vertical, and he said they'll have to, the whole pull out with the wood stuff, and it'll have two racks, grills for the, so you can do more than one meat or what have you. So we're going to look into that.
That'll get a look at a prototype first.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, but he apparently he's the one that does his grills for him.
Oh.
So he's like. Because this is his business, he barbecues for a living, and so his business is starting to grow. So he needs another smoker. So he already has one. So I said, okay. So we won't be getting it for this weekend, for the 4th of July, but might have it for my birthday because I'm thinking we might have to do pulled pork sandwiches.
That could be very nice.
Yes. I got the spit, but the one that I ordered initially only went across one of the grills, so I called char grill. They have one that goes across both, so I can rotisserie both sides at the same time.
Ooh, nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
it's it's those things. You know,
and we'll and
things
we'll get you we'll get you introduced to beer can chicken in no time flat.
Yeah, Jan is ready to do the beer because she started on her. She's done beer can chicken, so I might actually do something on Sunday. We don't really have any plans for the weekend, other than my nieces are here. Two of them out of the four. Well, two out of the four are here. They were up in Portland for my sister's wedding, and they wanted to come to their. They moved to Atlanta last year, and they wanted to come down and visit some friends and stuff. So I said, "Yeah, you guys can camp out at my house now that I have an apartment. I'm not living in an apartment anymore. We have a house, and there's actually room for people to spend the night. Or you know, so."
So you're settling. You're settling in nicely.
We are. We are. I mean, we still have a shit. I mean, it's not as bad. I mean, we have actually cleared out rooms. Jazz already said, I'm never moving again. You will have to bury me in this house because we've been here for 2 months, Bob, and there's still boxes that haven't even been touched.
Oh, it's going to be like that 10 years from now. Are you kidding?
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not losing my mind because I'm like, it's just never ending. It is absolutely never ending. But you know what though? It's wonderful. I went and got curtains the other day. The bedroom in our Jen and I's bedroom, we have French doors that open out into our backyard, and I put curtains up the other day, and it's just. You can see the sun rising in the east, and it's just really nice to know that it's just great. My only issue right now is getting the fucking grass to grow. I have read books. We have tried everything. I'm a step away from just saying screw it and just put concrete in the backyard. I mean, which would be better anyway, water conservation wise. But, and just because it's been so damn hot. I mean, last week it was like 115. But why would there ever be 115 degrees anywhere?
Because we've screwed up the climate system of the planet, but I'm just guessing.
But there's no such thing as climate change. But
yeah, I know. And that's why last week we didn't have a 1,000-year flood here.
Right. Because I was listening to that. You know, I was watching that on the news with the floods and stuff like that, and I'm like, oh, my God. And whenever I hear Westford, you know, I try not to get myself worked up about the news, but whenever I hear West Virginia, you know, I listen even harder because I'm thinking of you and your family. So you're saying that as you're worrying about these floods and stuff, Hillary, you got a robocall from Hillary?
No, I didn't, but I know someone who did.
Okay. Yeah,
that's the thing. Anytime somebody says West Virginia and it's in newscast, it's not going to be a good thing.
No, because you don't hear about, you know, somebody from West Virginia winning a Nobel Peace Prize or they finally decided to get rid of coal and are going to renewable energy and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, why, or, you know, they're going to start using wind turbines and stuff like that. No, they're not doing all that. We're just, you know, that's not what you would hear from West Virginia. It's usually because of some, you know, you're thinking the worst, like a mass shooting or, you know, floods or a coal mine collapsing, stuff like that. That's what you expect from West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not cool. It is so sad.
That's our reality. It is. By the way, you just got a note from Darcy. And Darcy said, on the subject of beer can chicken, it's the absolute best, especially on a Weber grill. And see, I do. Mm-hmm. I've still got a gas grill. And oddly enough, the burners are arranged somewhat differently so that you can get a convection current going. And
nice.
You can do like three good sized roasters at one time. And wow.
Yeah, see, like I said, there, I am, I don't know, since we moved in and I've been cooking meat, I've been having issues with my seasoning. It's like, usually I can season the hell out of something and it's perfect, but my last, like I did a round roast on the rotisserie the other day, and I did chickens on the rotisserie the other day, and they were just, I don't know if I'm not leaving it, letting it sit long enough. But like for the rotisserie, the round roast that I did, I let that sucker marinate for at least 8 hours. And it was still like, eh. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I mean,
all you're doing is learning. That's all there is to it. You're okay. And everything that comes out of there is going to be tasty. It just may not be exactly what you imagined it would be, but you're going to be fine.
Yeah,
by the way, Sparky tells me he has stuff that's still in boxes from 28 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Well, I hope to God that we don't have stuff in boxes for that long, because I think Jan would have a nervous breakdown if that was the case. But 28. Oh my God. I think if you would time to just call Goodwill and just tell them to just take the boxes. Don't even bother to open them. Just come and take it. Because I it's safe to assume that after 28 years you're not missing it. If it's been boxed up for 28 years.
No, the neat thing is if you unpack it after like 10, it's like getting new stuff.
That's true. Especially if it's closed and she can still fit, because that way, because more than likely it's back in style.
Exactly. And by the way, off air or somehow, I will I'll teach you how to make the disappearing white barbecue sauce you paint your beer can chicken with.
Speaking of disappearing white things.
Yes.
So have you heard, I'm pretty sure you heard about Jesse Williams' speech on the BET Awards. Open up a whole can of whoop-ass about the, you know, this thing of whiteness and how the white people are all up in arms like, well, white it's like you're not getting it. It's a social construct, you idiot. You know? But my personal, because I didn't watch the BET Awards, and I forgot that they were on, because if I had realized it was on, I would have watched it on Sunday, because I heard that they just showed out for print. That, you know, pretty much everything was all, it was print all the time, all the thing. And then Jesse Williams' speech was amazing. So much so that there was actually almost a fight on The View that the next morning. Between Whoopi Goldberg and I can't think of the sister's name. She's a correspondent on a legal correspondent on channels on ABC News, and they were getting into about appropriation. And Whoopi, you know, sometimes as much as I love Whoopi Goldberg, I sometimes just want to throttle her. But she actually said, "Well, we appropriate white people's stuff too," and I'm like, "It's not appropriation, you idiot. It's assimilation. We are not the dominant class. We can't appropriate anything. We are trying to, what we're doing is assimilating into the dominant
class." Oh, wait. Was that what Richard Pryor was doing back when he would do his white person voice? Oh, yeah. He was appropriating. Okay, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, or when people, when I call somebody, you know, when people call on the phone and I answer, and I give them directions to my office building, and they walk in and they see me sitting at the desk, and they're like, "Well, who's the girl who gave the wonderful directions to your building?" I'm like, "It was me." You know, so I wasn't, so that means I was appropriating. When she said that, I wish I could, I have to Google the sister's name, or somebody in the chat room can, but she was looking at Whoopi Goldberg like, "You stupid bitch." Because it's like you took it to a whole nother level, because you're saying that, you know, we're doing the same thing. So it's like, again, it's one of those things that you not take a social, even in sociology, when I've taken you know, psychology, sociology, or what have you, one of the things they talk about, major things, is, you know, assimilation and what people do that are, you know, not within that dominant culture, what we do to fit in so we can, you know, survive. Because, you know, they were going back and forth about the hair thing as well, because, like, one of the things they brought up was, like, Kendall Jenner, or one of those, like, Kardashians or whatever, who, you know, she wears her hair in cornrows and it's a funky, fresh new style. I wear my hair in cornrows and I'm ghetto.
Oh, sorry. Funky, fresh.
Right. And that's one of the things that Jesse Williams and the sister...
That's right up there with refreshing burst of flavor.
Right. Exactly. It's like when you, it's, but it's like part of my favorite poem that Langston Hughes wrote, you know, you've taken my blues and you've gone, you wrapped them up on, put them on Broadway and everything like that. But you don't want, you want to take the good stuff about being black, our music, our style, our culture, our hair, our color, our lips, our butts. As my Jandis said, my badonkadonk. You want to take the cool part about being black, but you don't want to be black, because you could, you know, you can go back to being white, and it's okay.
But wait,
is,
they gave, know, Tonys to Hamilton. Can't you people be happy about anything?
We got a, you got a black president. What is the issue, bitches? Quit whining, you sniffling black people. My God, you know, it's like. And the point, like Jesse Williams was saying, the point is, we're not, if you're going to appropriate and steal our culture, then you need to be speaking up for us as well. You know, because I was told, like I said, my nieces are here visiting, and I, you know, they were asking me some questions about it, and I said, well, this has been going on ever since black people hit this rock. I said, from, you know, they have been fascinated with us, but they hate us. So you look at, you know, back in the day when the white women got bustles. Why do you think they were wearing bustles? Do you really think that was a comfortable thing to do? No, they weren't. There was no way
black
butts back then. You know, because trust and belief, had they had plastic surgery back in the day, they would have been wearing, they would have had asses built, you know, they would have had silicone collagen. And, you know, I used to get teased. You know, when I was in school, because I was the only black kid at my school, I got teased because my butt was too big and my lips were too big. And that, shut up, Jan. See, this is why, you know, I never make these calls when I'm at home, because I have, you know, the peanut gallery in the back. So, but, you know, I got teased, and that was when I was in, like, the elementary school. So that was about 40 years ago. Now, 40 years later, now women are spending millions, white women are spending millions of dollars to have my lips and my butt. But I got, and I'll, but here's the thing, here's the rub. I'll still get, you know, I'll still get talked about for having a big butt or large lips. Or they don't call them large lips anymore. What do they say, Bill? I mean, Bob, full lips. Full lips.
Full. Yeah. Mick Jagger-ish.
Mick Jaggerish, or, you know, Steven Tyler. So, like you said, so we got Liv Tyler, Steven Tyler, Mick Jagger. And, you know, their lips are that way naturally, but they give them the credit, like, ooh, it's sexy on them. But not so much on black people. You know, it just boggles the mind. But I hope, you know, I loved his speech. I haven't listened to it in its entirety, but what I heard was enough for me to go, yeah. Because, like I said, I didn't hear it until they played it on The View, and then that's when the whole. But if you can find the clips from yesterday's show, you're going to, I know you don't do stuff like that because it'll make your head hurt. But it really, the discussion got deep, because it got kind of heated because it was only Whoopi Goldberg. And, well, I got to find this chick's name.
Oh, hey, I got to interrupt, though, because I have pressing inquiries from the chat room.
Okay.
We need a puppy update.
A what?
A puppy update.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm about to answer the picture now because I just got it. She's wonderful. She goes tomorrow for her her last shot. So after this, she'll be able to go out and socialize. Hi, Kimber. Everybody wants to say hi. She's giving kisses. So she goes for her first checkup tomorrow and her last shot. And so after that, she'll be able to get, now she'll be able to go to the doggy park and play with other doggies and stuff like that. They have a Petco on the weekends, puppy socialization class, and it's free. So you just bring your puppy in so she can socialize with other puppies and stuff like that.
Nice.
And my wife is saying that, you know, horrible things that I'm making her into a pussy and stuff like that.
Oh.
So she, no, she's saying that, Jan, the other mommy is saying that you have to be butch. You are butch because she's going to be, she's a bruiser. She's
soft,
adorable.
Soft power.
Yeah, she's just awesome. And she's learning how to, you know, sit and come. The problem with her is that she's hard-headed. She's as Jan says, she's more like me every day because when Jan calls me, I ignore her. And basically,
Secrets to a Happy Marriage with Tracy and Jan. Tune in tomorrow.
Secret to a Happy Marriage with Tracy and Jan. So when we call Kimba, she looks at me like, what? What do you want, mommy? I'm busy. I'm digging stuff. We're gonna get her a pool, because this is true story.
Well,
so,
it wouldn't be Southern California if the dog didn't have a damn pool, now would it?
Well, no. So listen, because she's part lab, so I guess they like water. Because the other day I was saying how I needed to give her a bath. So Jack's screaming, Tracy, come here. Kimba had gotten into the tub by herself. She was just, and so I gave her a bath. She got into the tub. She's loving you. If we leave the bathroom door open, she gets in the tub. She's hilarious. She really loves the water. So I was out watering, and she, you know, jumps into the water. And so it's not going to be like, it's just going to be like a little wading pool and stuff. But, you know, it's she's just wonderful. She's absolutely the best thing ever. We're very fortunate that she's just a good girl. She's an absolutely. Will you stop talking in the background? This is why
she only calls from the cab.
Uh huh. She just like, I'm leaving. This is why I only call from the cab.
All right, now Jan's gonna hate me. Okay, this is great.
No. She's like, she's left. I just sent you a picture of Kimba, how she sleeps. But it's a really, it's a pretty good picture. But that's just her. She just sleeps. She's a good girl. We have to break down though. We're going to have to crate her because she.
Oh.
That's just how she sleeps.
That's like babies sleeping in the fencing position. You know.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Taking up all the space that a baby can take up.
It's as much space. As absolutely possible. She's just, whoops, she just fell off the bed. Well, she didn't fall. You didn't hear her yelp, so she's okay. Well, I didn't think I would ever in my life have a dog. But, you know, when you have somebody like Kimba, she's amazing. Oh, how's fundraising going today?
It's been kind of tough for the last 2 days. Thanks to Mike in Portlandia. We just finished off Steve's challenge, so that means that there's one more $50 slot in the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society to go, and that means that we're probably overall down about, about $200.
Running downhill
to beat the Swede on Friday.
Well, that's right, because of the end of the month. Okay, well, don't put me in for 50, whatever that what you were talking about, secret something, whatever.
Okay, so you just filled in the last slot of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society.
Secret Open Carry.
Happy Trails Roundup Society. That is the invention.
Okay.
That's the invention of our buddy Harold.
Okay. Well, on that note,
I guess we better get out of here.
Yes, because it's 6:50. It's 5:57 on my time, and so that means it's 8:57 on your end. But as usual,
right? You got a note from Danny in Louisiana. Stan, he said, "Hey Bob, love you, but so love hearing Tracy's calls. Puppy and marriage updates are perfect."
I've been talking about a puppy, considering how the world is going right now, is the perfect way to end the show.
I think it is indeed. Tracy, have a lovely evening. My best to Jan. and we'll talk white barbecue sauce soon.
Yes, please, God, do. Because I might have to grill on Sunday, so you got to give me that sooner than later.
All right. Wonderful.
All right. All right, my love.
See ya. Bye now.
Good night. Bye-bye.
The one and only Tracy calling from Southern California. Home of and puppy and marriage are fine, and she's going to learn soon. Tracy will learn to inject inject flavoring agents into her barbecue and brine soak a pork shoulder and that's when you cross that threshold and amazing things begin to happen. Thank you everyone who has participated in fundraising. Thank you for the thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the response to the challenge. And hopefully, we'll have about $400 to raise tomorrow night and then $200 to go on Thursday, and that will beat the Swede. So we'll cross our fingers. And prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow, and oh my God, have I got some Lulus already lined up. Yeah. So, again, thank you one and all. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky, our moderators in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Glad to know you're back home now, Ben. They had a tree fall over. Didn't even have a storm, and they had a tree fall over on them, on their house. But they're back home now, so that's a happy thing. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.